Hello, this is Jonathan Frakes, and you're listening to Trekmate.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast, its continuing mission to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trekmate. My name's Jude Hawkins.
My name is Wayne Emery. Yes, welcome back, everybody. We've had a very short hiatus, as informed, but that is because Jude has been on a very important away mission.
Yes, I have. I've been all over the place.
Yeah.
In England.
That's it. It's been long discussed on the pod, and we're finally going to get to find out what the verdict was of Destination Trek. So,
for a second there, I thought you were talking about All In. A wrestling show with 80,000 wrestlers. Like, oh no, he's talking about Destination Star Trek.
Yeah, no. To be fair, it would be on point for Trekmate to only discuss everything except Star Trek. However, there is probably one or two listeners who would want to hear about AEW. Let's dip into it quick. How was All In?
All In was absolutely brilliant. Pretty much everything I hoped it would be. Crazy being in a crowd that big. Never been in a crowd that big. I think it is the biggest wrestling show that's ever happened in the world. I haven't got the only Star Trek connection to that is Big Show was there.
And he was in Voyager.
He was in Enterprise.
Enterprise, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's The Rock that was in Voyager.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a lot of fun. They're doing it again next year, so we'll go again next year as well.
Have you booked up?
They're not on sale yet.
Mm-hmm.
They've just made the world aware that it's happening, but I'll get them pretty much as soon as I can.
Excellent. Oh, no, I'm happy for you because it did look like an amazing show.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. No real complaints about, apart from like match winners and stuff, but it's all part of the storyline, you know, it's how it works. Not all your favourites are going to win all the time.
Of course not. Of course not. But that's the thing. It means that they'll get their, everyone will get their comeuppance at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It's all fun.
Exactly. Oh, no, good. Well, I'm glad that you had a good time. Before
Cheers.
We touch on Destination Trek, I just had like a couple of little points to discuss.
Yeah, I'm up for talking about anything you want tonight.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I've been in quite a bit of a Trek mood lately. I've been carrying on my long overdue TNG rewatch. So I've been like ploughing through.
Oh,
nice. I've been trying to do like an episode of a day, and at the moment I'm about a third of the way through season 4.
Oh, very good. Right in the middle of it then.
Yeah, so I'm writing the good stuff. So really,
it feels good, doesn't it? I've not gotten in that habit for a while, but to watch like one, or for me for a while it was two a day.
Yeah,
you know, like a good hour and a half before bed. But yeah, it does feel good watching good Trek.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So I've been really in the mood, and also I was sent by a company called Modiphius, who make the Star Trek Adventures role-playing game books.
Yeah.
And they do all sorts of missions covering like all of the series from like Lower Decks to everything you can think of. So it's really cool. But they came out with a solo campaign book called Captain's Log.
Yeah.
And it's a solo role-playing game. And first of all, they were kind enough to give it to us for free to check out. So big thank you to the guys over at Modiphius for providing it to us.
Very cool.
And it's one of them things, me and you have discussed on the podcast many times, how much we would like to get into Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've just, it's almost seemed very daunting to get into. And also half of the time you don't have enough people to play with.
Don't have the people. A lot of the time you don't have the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly. Something I've always been very interested in, and just, yeah, you just never can quite get round to it, can you?
No, you can't. And it's, to be honest, when I saw that they had a solo campaign, I was like, okay, then, that takes out a lot of the thing of needing to get together with other people. And the book, actually, I'll tell you what, is really nice quality. They've done variations on the cover design. So okay. The one that I actually chose was the Deep Space Nine cover.
Oh, very nice.
So it's just very subtle. Yeah, it's just very subtle, like with the DS9 communicator badge on the front and a picture of DS9 on the back. But it's the exact same book in each one, but you can just pick whatever cover you like. And that covers everything from whether it's Discovery, TOS, TNG, Voyager. It's got everything in there. So, but the actual inside of the books is identical. And the quality of the paper and print is really high and really nice. So,
I wonder if you're saying they've got all these different covers, if somehow the different worlds or times or whatever will come up at some point. Like there's ways of going into those different places or times.
Well, the thing is, this book, pretty much, it can span whichever era you want it to. You can take it into whatever era of Trek you want it to be. So it gives you a very in-depth guide on how to start, and also it gives even if people are say casual fans of Trek or wanting to get someone who isn't into Trek into it, it gives a very detailed rundown of the Star Trek universe. So the rules of how people behave, how certain groups behave, what's expected of you, and everything else. So it defines what Star Trek is very, very well.
Oh, that's cool.
And then also it goes, don't get me wrong, because I was reading it probably for about 30 minutes to an hour, a day, for probably about a week before I tried to start a game.
Okay.
And there is a lot to take in.
Yeah.
And I think on the first go round, I definitely done things wrong.
Yeah.
But it's one of them things of the more you play, the more you'll actually get used to.
It can be the same with computer games sometimes, can't it? With big, grand computer games where it's a hell of a lot of detail. You've just got to do that sometimes, except that this game is smarter than I am, and you've got to screw up and go, oh right, that's how that works, that's how you do that, and then start again maybe. And
exactly. And the core of the game though is first of all, you can either choose what era of Star Trek to play in, or it just allows you to roll a d20. I was always using a random, online you can get d20 generators to just do your rolls for you, or you could roll a d20 to determine what era of Trek you want to play in or whatever. And it really starts from the ground up. Before you even start the game, you have to spend you can either do it one of two ways, because on everything in the book, whether it's to do with building your character, the ship, the world, and everything else, you can either use what's called a matrix in here, which is basically a list of things that you could have or could happen, and all of them have got a number assignment. So you could either roll a d20 to find out what is what or what species you are or whatever, or it allows you to choose for yourself.
Yeah.
So you spend about a good 45 minutes to an hour.
It could be fun either way, depending on who you are.
Exactly. So what I used with a lot of the pre-game stuff, I used a lot of deciding myself, and then used a lot of random generators to determine like what sort of things were going to happen. And it's very much using your imagination, and it wants you to structure your game like a episode of Star Trek. So it wants you to have the different acts, like, so what's going on, then what happens, how you're going to resolve it, and the end.
Yeah.
Obviously. So it wants you to round it up nicely. And also, you, unlike Dungeons and Dragons, where you start out with a character and they are on the basement, there's no, in the sense of they've got no stats whatsoever.
Yeah.
Where they turn around and say, in this book, the what you always expect of a Starfleet officer is that they are competent. So you start off with a lot of base statistics to start your game, and a lot of that is determined by your choices. Like, first of all, it gets you to choose like what race you are, and then it gets you to choose like your background, your upbringing, like, and then like pivotal moments in your life and things like that. And because like my character, I decided that the timeline wise this was going to be set after Picard, only because I wanted my character to be a Trill human hybrid crossbreed that was their parents was members of the Maquis, who were killed by the Dominion.
Wow.
During the Dominion War. And then my character was raised by their aunt, who was a Starfleet officer serving. So that's what led them to get into Starfleet. But at the same time, my character still held a lot of resentment for the Cardassians and the Dominion.
Very good seeds for a good story there.
Yeah. So I was. So that's how I set it up. And then you choose how you want your character to go career wise, whether they were aiming for command, whether they were going for security, whether they were going for all of the different sections.
Did you choose that, or you roll for it?
No, I chose where I wanted mine to go, but I started them on the path for security, but in the back of my head I would like them to go for command eventually.
They've got
to have aspirations. But yeah, so my character is a security officer.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah, and just to give you a rough overview of my story, there was a chief of security on a mission, and then there was a group of Vulcan ambassadors who got kidnapped, and you had to then go and save them. But because I pretty much OP'd my character on their security stats. So a lot of my roles were pretty good. Because how you do it is, like, depending on what your stats are, as long as, like, when you roll your D20, it's under that number, it's a successful roll and things that are going on. So, all in all, it's really, really enjoyable game. And
so did you have a conclusion as well then?
My character did end up saving the Vulcans, but they did lose due to some dodgy rolls. I did lose an ensign whilst on the mission.
So it's almost like you said, it's almost like you're writing an episode.
It is pretty much like that.
Are you able to then keep your character and then do another game.
It encourages that. It encourages that because what it wants, because also what it does is the book also gives you the tools to then use this book to then play with other people as well. So you can play in one of three ways. You can either play solo or you can play as a group who all collectively tell the story together and play through it that way. Or you can play it in a traditional Dungeons and Dragons sense, where one person will be the dungeon master who is creating the story and everyone else plays through it. And the book gives you the tools for whichever type of playthrough that you want.
Very cool.
So I think, to be honest, with the book, I am very tempted to actually maybe put together an episode of Trekmate with us and maybe a couple of the guys.
The exact same thing. Yeah, because you don't have to do it all in one night necessarily, do you?
No, well, that's the thing. It could be spread over however long.
Yeah, to be continued. And
also then if you wanted to do more than one episode, that's it.
Yeah, that as well, yeah.
Because also your character has like core values of which what makes them like their core beliefs, and the book encourages you to test those core values and to then like over time, over however many games, that character's core values can change and evolve. And also their skill sets can adapt and change. So it very much encourages you to be playing as many times as you could possibly wish.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, so, and it came, I've got the hardback cover and also copy, and they were also kind enough to supply us with the PDF version. So you can pick it up on PDF as well if you wanted to do that. I'll just double check the website that was, because I'm sure I've got it saved somewhere. It was. No, that's the hardcover. It was drivethroughrpg.com. So drive and then through THRURPG.com. And that is for the PDF version. And the website for the main book is, I think you can also order that through drivethroughrpg.com. But if you just search Modiphius, Modiphius, you'll be able to find it. But yeah, no, I think it is on drivethroughrpg.com as well. So really well worth checking out, especially if you're like us and like always fancied giving like a Dungeons and Dragons game a go.
Yeah, what a good way to start.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a franchise that we all know, so we all have a fairly good understanding on what would make a good character and also how a Starfleet officer should behave
and the motivations and stuff of all the different alien races and stuff.
Exactly. So, no, I think I really do fancy playing that through with yourself and like maybe a couple of other people, or even just us two, like going through and having a go. Because
do what we were saying a minute ago. You've had a practice run on your own and then a proper run, and then we could have a practice run and then bring other people in, and we know a bit more what we're doing then. Anyone we bring in probably already knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. They would know more than what we do, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But that's the thing. All you need to do, anyone who picks up the game, is once you've read through the bits and that, is you just spend like a good 45 minutes to an hour just creating your character and getting that backstory. And it's really well worth checking out. I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, I look forward to doing it.
Yeah, so that's Star Trek Adventures Captain's Log, the solo role-playing game. So definitely go check that out. It's really, really enjoyable. Also, I was lucky enough to be sent something else last week, which I have had time to record an unboxing video. I'm going to put that out soon. But I need to, I'm going to be having a game of it soon to like really understand whether I enjoy it and what it's like. But that was from Gale Force 9 Games, and that is the Star Trek Away, is it Away Missions or Away Teams? I will get that up, because actually the game at the moment is indoors where I was getting it ready to have a game.
I saw a picture that you shared somewhere. I don't know if it was just on a WhatsApp.
Yeah, no, it's the Away Missions. Yeah, Star Trek Away Missions. And it's a board game that's based around the Battle of Wolf 359.
Yeah.
And you control, on each of the, you control one of two teams. It's a two-player game. And on the base game, you've got, obviously, Starfleet. Ah. So it's fronted by Riker, Shelby, Data, Worf, and
it's hard to see them in the picture.
Yeah, no, it is hard to see them in the picture that I sent you. And then on the other team, like, your main player is Locutus, and then four board drones.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, I guess that's obvious.
Yeah, and then there's also, they provided us, there's two expansions at the moment. There's one which is a Klingon set, which is fronted by Gowron, and then four other Klingons as well. And then why is my mind going blank?
I've got it in front of me. It's a Romulan expansion.
It is the Romulan expansion, but I'm thinking who the main character, you know, Tasha Yar's daughter.
I forgot how you pronounce it, but it's Commander Sela. Sela.
Sela. Sela. It's Sela. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
Sela.
Yeah,
Sela. I really enjoyed that on the program.
Yeah. Same here. So it's Sela and four other Romulans fronting that team. And so I'm really looking forward to digging into it. But what I can say after unboxing it is the quality of the game is very high, which doesn't surprise me, because
I look forward to watching the video. Yeah, I won't ask you too much about it now. I'll watch the video and talk about it more next time, I guess.
Yeah, I think it'll be good to talk about it once I've actually played it as well, and seeing how the game mechanics work.
I'm going to be
roping someone. I'm going to be roping someone else to play in.
Okay.
Play with us, and then do a video review discussing.
Well, if you want to do what we did and failed in the past, I don't mind doing it. If you can just move the pieces for me.
Yeah, we can give that a go. Yeah, we did that
once with the VHS game, didn't we? It was a lot of fun. Yeah. We just lost the recording, or it just didn't record properly.
Yeah, no, it didn't record properly at all, but that's technology improves, so hopefully we would be able to get that going well. So, yeah, no, we should give that a go at some point.
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, I'm just trying to think. Oh, I haven't got it with me. I left it indoors. I did buy myself something Star Trek related, because I was, after you going to the con and everything, I was just like, I want to get myself something Star Trek, but I'm absolutely brassic, so I'm gonna treat myself. I was like, okay then, what do I want to get the Star Trek? So I just went on eBay and was searching for things that were finishing soon and cheap. And I was like, oh fuck it, that's cool, it's dead cheap, I really like it. Just a Star Trek 30th anniversary phone card is what I bought
myself.
Sometimes
it just makes you feel good, doesn't it? Just to buy stuff that you don't need, but you just like it. Why
it was
not?
Only £1.
Oh, wow. Very good.
Yeah, no, it was £1, but also I think
it
might have...
You say that cheap.
Yeah, no, I think it might have opened up a bit of a wormhole for us, because I'm suddenly oh, the phone cards are actually pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I could start collecting Star Trek phone cards.
Yeah.
And absolutely unused, never scratched.
Yeah.
And I got it for a bargain, because it initially sold for £3. I don't know if it'd still work, but...
You never know.
So, yeah, no, absolute bargain. So
I picked up a few things as well when I went to the convention.
Let's talk about it. Tell us about your purchases first.
What did I get? I got a little tote bag that said, which was from one of the previous events, but I don't remember seeing it. I've been to all but two of them. Mm-hmm. It's like a black on the bottom and blue on the top, so it almost looks, next generation science-y sort of style. And that cost next to nothing. I bought a Niners patch, the logo with no writing on it. Yeah. So that's already sewed onto a shirt with a bunch of other patches that I've got, or just random patches. I got issue 2 of the original Deep Space Nine magazine.
Oh, okay.
And the main reason is because I was having a few photos that day and I realized, I've not brought anything to put, because I normally have like a book or a magazine in my bag to slip it into, so they're not getting all scrunched up. So, and that was, I think that was only about £4, and it had a bit of cardboard shoved in the back of it. So I was like, perfect.
Yeah.
Absolutely perfect. Obviously, I'm happy about getting the magazine as well.
But, double purpose.
What else is that? I think I just got a Deep Space Nine magnet with the cast on from like season 3 or whenever it was, but Sisko shaved his head, so maybe season 4.
But before Worf joined.
I think so, yes. I think it's a Worfless picture.
So then that would be 3.
Pretty popular, often used photo of the cast.
Yeah, you can tell. If he's bald and there's no Worf, then it's 3.
Yeah. What else did I get? Oh, I got a I got another. It's the third time I've done this off the same person, our friend David Z. I can't remember how I pronounce his surname.
I always say Zabella or Zabila.
Exactly.
David Z.
It's David Z today. But for the third time I've bought a Hallmark.
Yeah.
Deep Space Nine Christmas decoration.
Nice.
So in the past, I've bought Deep Space Nine itself, I've bought Sisko himself, and this time I've bought the Defiant.
Sweet.
Which somehow there's supposed to be a way that you can plug it in. You can either plug it into the lights, he said, or you can get some batteries for it.
You can shove a mice up its arse.
Yeah. And it will make bits of it light up. I don't know if there's some sound recording in it like there is in the Deep Space Nine one.
Excellent.
But I didn't quite work out how to do it. But I'll give him a message or look it up online.
Yeah.
I can see if there's like a plug where you can plug it into your lights, but I just feel like I'll probably end up blowing up the whole tree if that happens. So I'll try and find out how to put batteries in it.
Yeah. Oh, which is not that's obvious. Cool, though.
There's not like an obvious slot, so I'm guessing it's something to do. You screw out the wire that's coming out of it, but I was happy to get that.
Nice. And you're getting a little bit of collection now.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy to do it.
Excellent.
We do like Christmas, and it's nice putting my stamp on the tree.
Oh, definitely.
With that sort of geeky stuff.
Definitely.
If I bought anything else, I can't remember what it was. I definitely have to resist the urge to buy the Playmates figures because I've owned so many. And in the last 2 or 3 years, I've sold most of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a few left in the house, either because people don't want to buy them online or Morn is just ones where I'm like, oh, I'll keep that one.
Yeah, ones that you want or hold sentimental value or...
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. So,
but when you're there and they're all in front of you, like, oh, I could get so that, bright. I could get it. And I'm just like, I just sold it like 3 months ago. Why why would I buy it again? It's just silly.
I know. I tell you what, I absolutely want to get more Playmates figures at some point. I've
looked at some in the shop recently, actually. I can't remember which toy shop it was. It was the Entertainer. one of the main high street toy shops, I was in there and they had, I think it was 6 new Playmates figures. Oh, bloody hell. Massive moths just coming here.
And
great.
Just watching Jude eyeing this moth around the, around the room.
Yeah, a couple have come in at the same time, but one of them's particularly big. It's because I've got the whole door open because it's so warm tonight.
It's very hot. I'm sweating my bollocks off.
Yeah, it's a weird time, but I can't complain because I do generally like the warm weather, but it's just so strange.
Well, that's the whole thing. Honestly, I know that outside this door, which goes into my garden, the air is nice and cool. However, I can't open the door because, like Jude, there'd just be loads of fucking moths.
Yeah.
Everywhere. So I can't open the door where it's all annoying, the lovely fresh air is. But yeah, no, so I totally understand that. And so run us through your experience, because you was going for just a Saturday.
Yeah, I'll just be completely honest about it. I don't have any anything prepared or anything like that. And I feel like I have to say on here as well, I kept saying this in the build-up, like I have no agenda or anything, like one way or another. I'm not here to rip something down and go, oh, it's crap, or the opposite and go, oh, it was amazing.
Skin in the game.
No, I don't. So I would just say, I'll do it backwards like I always do. Like I had a pretty good time. I was happy with what I did there, but I kind of already had it in my head that, you know, then there might not be as many stalls, there might not be as many things as I would like to see, but I'm happy going in there and getting my photo with a few of the stars that I've not met before, maybe get an autograph, definitely have a look around all the traders' tables and, you know, maybe come away with something at least, which I did. And yeah, that's what I did. It was okay. If I had to, you know, say it in one word, it would be, you know, it was all right. I did say to a couple of people while I was there, I couldn't have done more than one day. I don't know. For me, speaking for myself, like if I was there for 3 days, I'd just be so bored. Like the only thing that would keep it going would be speaking to other fans and getting to know people or spend time with friends that you already have. But if you're being antisocial and not speaking to that many people, keeping yourself to yourself, like not an awful lot to do. I think I was only there for about between four to five hours. And at the end of that time, I looked at everything twice. You know, I got the photos with the people that I wanted. I think I could have only had photos with a couple more people than I did. I can't remember who all the guests were, but there wasn't many. I'm sure it was only about 5 or 6, and I met 3 or 4 of them. Yeah, 4 of them.
Yeah. So you had your photo with Christina Chong.
Yeah.
And
Jess Bush, I want to say. Jess Bush.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Jess Bush.
The two new Strange New World stars who I've been really enjoying that show. I've got about halfway, I think, between season into season 2, and then I just stopped. I can't really explain. Well, I can actually explain a little bit, because I was in a Star Trek mood before I went for a few weeks there. But then I just suddenly started watching Deep Space Nine. So every time I wanted
to watch... DS9.
Yeah, every time I wanted to watch some Trek, it would just be that. And I've just been... I just thought, why not? You can do what you like. There's no rules. I've just been cherry-picking episodes. So I just seem to be picking episodes which either centered around Martok, I guess, because I knew I was meeting J.G. Hurtler.
Yeah.
And Garak episodes as well. Well, just because he's such a good character, mainly.
Just to interrupt for 2 seconds, remind me after we've spoken all about Destination Trek that there was another subject I wanted to talk about to do with Garak.
Oh, I know what it's going to be already, because I thought the same thing.
But
I just got sidetracked with watching them, but that's not a bad thing. Oh, yeah, I don't know if I've ever said this to you before. It's weird. At my parents' house,
mm-hmm.
where I stayed for a week, you know, a little bit before and a little bit after Destination Trek, they've got a new TV, which mm-hmm. is, it's not massive, but it's the biggest TV they've ever had. But for some reason, it seems particularly more HD-ish than mine. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that is exactly, but just things that I've watched on my TV at home, I've got the same apps as they've got and stuff, just seems so much clearer on their TV, whether it be movies or TV shows. And it could be anything, because DS9 on there just looked brilliant. Really, like, the clearest I've ever seen it look, to the point where it was almost weird watching. You know, some things, when you see them in HD,
mm-hmm.
it looks almost too lifelike.
Yeah.
When we've been so used to seeing it in a certain way.
Like a certain fuzziness. But you have got a 4K TV, though, haven't you?
I do. Yeah, that's the weird thing. I mean, stuff still looks good on there, but just their TV in their house, I was just like, why does this look
What brand so much- was it?
I don't know. I'll tell you next time I go up there.
Yeah.
But it's the sets and the actors' faces. I'm just like, I can mm-hmm. see them so much better, and the movements are so much clearer and crisper. But then the battles, mm-hmm. all the ships and stuff just look amazing. Really, really good.
Imagine what it's like if they'd done an HD remaster.
Well, I did. That's what I was thinking the whole time, which is like, this is sort of halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fact that it looks... And when I got home, I just thought, I'm just going to watch some episodes as soon as I get home, just to check that I'm not imagining that. And I was right. I got home, and it looks okay, but it just looks as fuzzy as it always has. It's strange that, but...
Weird. But nice for you to have that on the build-up to get yourself into the mood.
Yeah, and I've watched a few DS9 since then, but just I keep having to remind myself, you've got to go back and watch, carry on watching Strange New Worlds, and there's other ones that mm-hmm. I've not watched. I've not watched Lower Decks, all of it.
Yeah.
So, and I want to watch The Crossover, which I know is happening there somewhere in the middle.
And also, I haven't watched it yet, but I know that today they released... two more episodes of Lower Decks as well.
Oh,
two
really?
The new season has just dropped.
Just like I never mentioned to the listeners that I got a new dog last week. After the wrestling show, 2 days after, we got a new Dalmatian puppy. I've spent over half my life being a Dalmatian owner. 22 years I've owned Dalmatians.
Blimey.
It's weird. I'm just bringing her up because she won't stop flipping farting right now. It stinks in here. Absolutely stinks.
You can put up with the moths then whilst the door's open.
Oh, you just reminded me when you were saying, like, oh, it just dropped today.
so did Phoenix's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking about Destination Trek, wasn't I?
So as this is like the first time in quite a few years that you've been a paying customer going in.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah.
You not having full access to every paid talk, which, to be honest, they were charging for some so that I didn't think should be paid for, but...
I agree. I think they definitely messed up. That's one of the bigger criticisms of this year, which I could have said before I even went.
Did you enjoy, or did you get to watch any talks whilst you was there?
I only watched one,
mm-hmm.
and the others I just chose to walk past. I watched one where it was, is her name Gwyneth Walsh? Is that her name? The Klingon Jura sister.
Is she Basil or Lursa?
I forgot.
She might be Basil.
But she seemed like a really nice lady. But what got me just annoyed me immediately, not herself, is that she literally came on stage and just said, you know, you got the writers guild, the writers and actors guild strike thing going on. Yeah. There's all sorts of strange rules that someone has made, and actors are allowed to attend conventions, but you can't talk about programs that you're currently in or that are coming out in the future. Which you kind of get that, but what's wrong with a, you know, Star Trek actor who hasn't been in Star Trek for over 20 years talking about something that happened 20 years ago? Like,
yeah,
what difference is it going to make? We've all seen it. It's not like.
Mm-hmm.
But she came on stage and she said something along the lines of, okay, we're not supposed to talk about current projects and, you know, our work, but I'm happy if any of you guys want to talk to me about car tech or bar tech, you know. and she just sort of did a wink, wink. And I just thought, oh, good on her. Well done. Yeah. That's what I hoped some of these actors would have said, you know, fuck it. Like, let's find a way.
If I was on a space show.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you can do that. Like, why not? And
Star Trek.
Yeah. But the host, I don't know who the host guy was, but you immediately jumped on it and said, oh, no, we're not allowed to do that. Can't talk about anything at all. We're not allowed to talk. And I just thought, oh, you fucking Jobsworth, honestly. What's wrong with you? Like, the lady, you know, she's the guest here. You know, she's just said she's willing to talk, like.
Chill out.
Yeah, exactly. So then for, like, the next half an hour.
And the thing is, as well, as the event holder, even say if an Actors Guild got fucked off, it wouldn't be you as the event holder that they'd get fucked off with. It'd be the actor or actress that they would get fucked off with.
Yeah, so, they'd say you shouldn't have done that, you know, and then that person would
and
say,
then
oh.
They'll go, oh, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be on you as the event holder.
No, that guy, I don't know who the guy was. But he took that way too seriously, and I thought, you've just ruined that for everyone in this room. And then, no offense to Gwyneth, but like the next half an hour was just like, oh, so where did you go to school? Where did you go to college? You know, it's just like, if I was having a chat with this person like for hours, like I might be interested in that. But where is this bloody Star Trek convention, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, if you're actually getting to know the person, you're sitting there, you're having a drink with them, you're getting different. To know them, that is very different than sitting down at a panel.
But, like, as Star Trek fans, even then, even if you were at the bar or in a restaurant with them, like, you'd have to say, like, oh, when you were in this episode, you just have to get those few questions out first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wouldn't bombard, but in this case, it is a convention. It is a talk at a Star Trek convention. So that just wound me up. You know, I was just like, that's BS, this.
But that
makes it even worse, the fact that they're charging people like 15 quid to go to an Ethan Phillips talk on his own.
I've never known an Ethan Phillips solo talk be charged for ever.
No. And that's no offense to the guy, but like there's always been this sort of, I don't want to say hierarchy, but you know, like level
of
actors there is. At these conventions where like, okay, you want to go see the TNG reunion? That's 15 quid.
You put Ethan Phillips with with Harry Kim and Tuvok, and that's
and
a nice panel.
On a smaller stage.
Yeah.
And and usually those talks can often be better because they're a bit more relaxed and they're not worrying about, are we giving people their money's worth? They're just happy to be together and, you know, have a laugh. But I can't imagine any of the talks. I mean, I'm sure there's people listening to this or people that attended that were like, no, I really liked it. But
did you gauge
not for me?
Did you gauge response from other attendees?
Oh,
on
when
the
that
talks?
Guy said that thing of, you know, like, oh, no, we can, you could just hear the whole room just go, oh, God, why?
Yeah. Here we go. What recipes do you know?
Yeah, just silly. Yeah, there was an old Family Guy clip during the rounds that I sent you, you know, where that literally happens. where they go to a Star. I don't think there's an actor strike in the episode, but it's Stewie and Brian, and they go to a Star Trek convention, and Stewie's desperate to ask a question, but they're just picking all the other people, and everyone's just like, "Oh, I've got really bad dandruff lately. Can you recommend a good shampoo?" And Stewie's just like, "We're at a Star Trek convention. I've got a Star Trek question."
And once again, so there was no vetting of questions or anything, because obviously
never is of these bloody things.
There never is, but also in this instance, people weren't being allowed by showmasters to even ask any questions, so there was nothing to really vet at all.
No, it was very unfortunate, that part of it. I hope other people did have fun with that, but I suspect there was probably some people there that were a lot more peed off than I was. You know, for me, it wasn't a big deal. I walked in, sat down for a bit, and walked back out before the talk had finished. They'd actually double booked her, actually, Gwyneth.
How can you do that, considering how...
I know, but there's only like six guests anyway. Yeah. But yeah, for at least like a 5-minute overlap, it was... She was supposed to be having a photo and doing a talk at the same time, but...
Why would you do that straight, one after the other?
I don't know. I really don't.
And so with it being in a hotel now, how was that?
Well, I had to direct her to where it was.
Oh, really?
Not immediate, because I'd already left the room, but that when I was walking through the hallways... Her and like a staff member were just going, where is it? And I was just like, oh, I think you want to be going in this room just over here, just around this corner. And I was like, this is definitely it.
So, well, yeah, if their staff don't know the way around as well. Yeah. So how, obviously it used to be in big like hangars almost like in these like events. And this is the first time that Destination Trek has gone to a hotel, which a lot of people would argue is like the best environment for a convention. It's a bit more intimate.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to say about that. A couple of things I'm going to say. One thing I'm going to say, and some people are going to say, oh, he's bitter or whatever. I'm not at all. I've already said, you know, I had my fun there. I enjoyed it to a degree. But I really felt that this year's thing was no better than elements of Trekcon and like a FCD, First Contact Day, when that was a convention that was happening for a while. You know, they had a handful of guests, which both of those conventions did.
Yeah.
They had a venue where you had enough space to put the things, but they were separate, and very much like Trekcon. Actually, worse than Trekcon, there wasn't good signage. So it wasn't easy to get from one place to another. Like I said, I was directing one of the actresses, but also I was directing many other fans that day, just because I'd done it once or twice or three times already. So multiple people just going, where's this? Where's this? And they got like these awful little maps placed occasionally, but you can't work it out looking at them. Just not a clue. Often people are looking for things and it's right behind you and you still don't realize it because it was very oddly laid out. But yeah, I couldn't help think that, you know, but it reminded me of our first convention, which was in a school, which was separated into several, you know, like you had a hall for talks, you know, like the theater for the talks. Then you had like one trader's room, and then you had a outside section where you had to go from one part to like a gym, where it reminded me of that. It could have been a lot better organized. And I mean no offense to the staff there, but saying that, they will have been there 24 hours. I was seeing and hearing more of fans showing and telling other fans how and where to go than I was staff.
Okay. And as you said, they've been there for a day.
Yeah,
so they should know.
Well, some of them might have been. Some of them, I guess, might have just turned up for the day in defense of them, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the organization wasn't great. But because there was so few things to do and see, I don't think it really mattered anyway. You know, you were going to find it eventually. But I mean, I suppose for some people, like with disabilities and stuff, if you're in a wheelchair or crutches or you just have difficulty walking in general, it could have been a huge pain in the ass.
And with organization in mind, how was like when doing talks and things where normally you would have like big winding queue lines? How were the queue lines handled? At the con, because I'm assuming most of the photo shoots would have just been like in a side room somewhere.
Yeah, it wasn't great that, but it could have been a lot worse. They, I think, originally had planned to use two rooms for photos, and I think they just accepted in the end. I think maybe they were going to try that or did try it on the Friday, and then on the Saturday it was all just in the one room. I think they just accepted, like, there's only so many guests here. And there's only so many photo shoots that have actually been sold. I think they might have sold a lot more if it wasn't for, you know, the company themselves, Showmasters, whatever you want to call them. I certainly didn't buy my tickets until like the day before, I think, when I started to see, oh, Ethan Phillips is in the country. Oh, this person's in the country. Yeah. Like, go on then, I'll get them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also, in my opinion, might have been a reason why Walter didn't make it over.
Mm-hmm.
Because either I feel, I might be wrong, you might have been a little bit ill and just said, you know, I don't think I can make this one. But I feel like, I felt like that was always going to happen, where they were going to look at photo shoot numbers, tickets, and just say, you know, we've only sold like a handful.
So you reckon that, well, obviously we're just guessing now.
Yeah.
But in that instance, maybe they just turned around and paid his fee and left it at that. So then they didn't have the expense of flying or.
Yeah, you know, if he's only sold, 10 to 20 photos when they've expected to sell hundreds like they normally would for like a Walter Koenig type actor. Yeah. I think a lot of it could have been better, but hopefully, like, they will just keep improving. Like, I don't think it was bad at all. I can't come away from it and say, oh, that was awful. I can't say that. I hope there's no actor strikes for sure.
Next year, yeah.
Surely
not.
They've already announced people, which I'm still skeptical whether these people will turn up like I was the whole time for this one. And it's not because I've got an agenda. It's just because of past histories. That's all.
So how was the, I know you said it was a lot smaller, but how was the traders room and like room where fan groups would have been?
It was enjoyable. So you had one traders room, which also had a small stage where they were doing talks, and people seemed to be enjoying those talks. You know, it was like, yeah, fan group talks, like you know, playing Family Fortune style games. Who would ever think that would happen?
Some genius.
Yeah. But I didn't pay too much attention to it. I could have done, but I just chose not to for whatever reason. They had a gaming zone, which all our gaming zones were better than their gaming zone, and that is a fact. That's not an opinion. They really were.
Was many people using it? Because I always tend to find that not many, even though it's a good idea, not many people tend to actually be using
it. Yeah, we ditched it on our third one, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were just like, this just can't be bothered. It's just not worth the effort and the time that goes into doing it. But I think because it was in the same room as the traders and one of the stages, I think that they were... I think there was probably only about five screens set up.
Mm-hmm.
If there was more, it wasn't much more. But people were doing what they do. I think some people were just glad to sit down somewhere for a second.
Yeah.
I got on a Xbox, I think it was, and no, it was a Switch actually, and I played Prodigy, Star Trek Prodigy, and it just seemed all right. But that's kind of what I thought when I'd seen videos of it. It just seemed like one of those typical 3D platformers.
Well, funnily enough, after I've been discussing this with Darren on Facebook, and Prodigy, the game, if you want to pick it up for cheap, it's dead bloody cheap. I mean, Smith's had it down to £5.
Wow.
And but it's pretty much sold out. But I did check, and you can get it at CEX for about £7.
Yeah, nice.
So I think £7, it's going to worth a punt.
It could be quite good. Could be, you know, who knows?
But for £7, it's worth at least giving a go, I reckon.
It looked good, though.
Yeah. Oh, no, good. So, I'm glad that people were using it, because that's why we gave up the gaming zone. People just weren't using it. But I think you're right. If it's in there right with all of the stuff that like the traders and everything else, then people probably are going to sit there with it for a couple of minutes. But as you say, I think they're going to use it more as a rest break between what else is going on.
Yeah, that's literally what I did. I think I was texting you at the same time.
Unless you maybe like organize a competition on a game or something.
Yeah.
Maybe that's something you could do on a panel, like, is actually literally have like on screen like a Games Master style.
Yeah, I was just watching that the other day, actually. The reason I was watching that is because Destination Trek actually on the last day announced that they're doing another one next year. But I guess to cut costs for the company, they're doing it an even cheaper, more random hotel. It's in Blackpool.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it at a hotel what is...
Castle?
Norbrecht Castle, I think it's called. Yeah. And apparently it's very good for conventions. And I've watched videos with conventions there, and I've watched videos of reviews of the rooms there. And from what I can tell... The conventions, I watched basically one of these gaming conventions, and it looked really fun. Looked like a good amount of space, and the people having a really good time there. And I could see how Destination Trek or any convention could have a good con there. But yeah, the rooms are just bloody awful. Every video I've seen, like, the evidence is there, but it's, you know, people just literally saying, do not stay here. So I haven't booked any Destination Star Trek tickets, and I won't until much later, but I have booked a premiere in. Because it's Blackpool, like, me, Sarah and Cisco will just go and have a little weekend away anyway. So I was happy to get the premiere in hotel, which is only about a 5-minute walk.
The thing is, with it being Blackpool, there is many, many options for people who want to stay. Because
A serious, massive amount. A lot of them are awful, though, to be fair. It's one of those places. It's not just Norbrecht Castle that's bad. A lot of them are like that there.
Yeah, so you've got a lot of hotels, a lot of lodges. Also, in short distance, you've got two different Haven caravan parks as well. So if that takes your fancy, then you could do that and go. And but also there's other stuff as well nearby. So if you are going, you could justify going if you're taking the family and doing other bits around Blackpool.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Let the family go out on their own on the Saturday while I'm there, and then we'll just have a full day of doing stuff on the Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with people like us who, with our Merlin passes, there's stuff up there that is covered, like...
The Tower, yeah, I've never done that.
The Tower, Madame Tussauds.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I think that, and there might be a dungeon there, I'm not sure. Mm. But also, maybe by next year... Merlin has taken over running the big water park that's up there on the coast.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so by the time that next year rolls round, it might be included in the pass. Because
I know that they've got Cadbury World next year in Birmingham.
Oh, no, funnily enough, mate, they took on Cadbury's World. It was either beginning of this year or last year. And from today, you can actually book and go there now. It's included with our passes now.
Oh, from today. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sarah will be happy about that.
Yeah, so that's what we said. Like, especially with autumn and winter rolling in, it's going to be one of those attractions that you can do.
Yeah.
Like outside.
Yeah,
of
I've always
season.
Wanted to do that.
We went once years ago, like when Amy was only a couple of months old. So I'm looking forward to taking the kids. And so I'm hoping that considering the amount of time that it took for it to go from them running Cadbury's World to then them including it in the Merlin Pass, that maybe the water park will also be included by next year as well.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah, there's going to be plenty. And also then, if you are into theme parks, you've obviously got the Pleasure Beach.
Yes, yeah, well. It's expensive these days, but I think because it's so far away, that's probably what we would do.
Well, I looked at the Pleasure Beach, and it's roughly about £30 a person for the whole
day. It is, but even though I haven't been for about 7 years,
mm-hmm.
when we were there, they seemed to be selling a hell of a lot of the fast passes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you can buy like a big old fast pass, so you can go on every ride once,
mm-hmm.
a fast pass, or you can buy individual ones for rides. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we did. Me and Cairo sort of
mm-hmm.
I think we just got like a fast pass for free rides because the queues were so big, and we was like, oh, sod it, you know, we'll treat ourselves. And
mm-hmm.
but I think they rely on that a lot.
Oh yeah.
So that's why I'm saying it's expensive.
But yeah, so if you are going to be going to the con, but think, oh, I'll only do a day, but I can justify it to the family by making it a bit of a weekend.
Yeah, that's what I thought. As soon as I saw Blackpool, I thought, oh, there's going to be a lot of people look at that and go, oh, what, Blackpool? But to me, I was just like, oh, yeah, that could work, actually.
Yeah, and to be honest, I am also thinking that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'm also thinking that because I think that is the sort of thing that you can totally justify, and you'll end up being able to enjoy having a weekend that you'll enjoy with the family as well as having a day at the con.
And also, if it was anything like it was this year, like, you'll be done in 4 hours at the convention probably.
Yeah, because obviously they do have the parties and things that are going on, and
a lot of people are really into that.
Yeah, and people, obviously everyone loves getting pissed, and with it being Star Trek themed, that's great. But we don't necessarily always, I've not done many of the parties over the years, so
I've just the same as you, I think I've been with you for one of them where I've just walked in not for me.
There wasn't really much going on, and especially with the alcohol at the prices they were charging at the Hilton,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's not worth it.
Nah.
It's not worth it. But yeah, so I think, I honestly think that next year is probably going to be a go for me, I think.
Yeah, and I think it has the potential to be better than this year. And
mm-hmm.
I think, maybe they might learn a thing or two going forwards. I hope so.
You've
got to be optimistic, haven't you?
Well, I know they've already announced some of the guests, but I did read somewhere that they were reckoning they were going to get about 20 guests for next year.
I hope they're right. That'd be great, but I don't believe it myself at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I'm
thinking. They had an average of 5 or 6 a day, I think, at this one. And some of them, you know, I mean, no offense to them, but like the girl from who was like an extra from the Star Trek movies.
Oh, 9. Yeah.
They're doing nothing.
That's the thing. These poor people, when you are the girl from a passing scene in Star Trek 09, or you're
I'm
the
sure
wrong
lovely person,
or you're
I've
the wrong Jeffrey Andorian, Then you aren't going to be busy over that weekend. And we've learnt that ourselves, that you can't just build up the numbers with people that people aren't interested in.
Yeah. It just doesn't work that way.
And as you said, that's not to slight any of the others.
No.
At all, because I'm sure that they are lovely people and got stories to tell.
Yeah.
But there's only one Jeff Van Dorian that you want to meet. So.
Yes, there is. That's just, well, for us anyway. I heard that guy, people were interested in him for other roles that he'd been in.
Oh, really? Okay, that's interesting.
But like we learned on our first convention, that's not how it works. If you're going to do a Star Trek convention, it's got to be about Star Trek. You can't say like, oh, he, you know, was in Star Trek for 2 seconds, but always in eight
Look
episodes.
Look at Stargate, yeah.
Other program. It's like, well, it's not that other program's convention. It's this. But yeah, so for next year, they've got two, three people that had cancelled previously, and not under good circumstances, where it was Tim Russ, Robbie McNeil, I feel like there's someone else who was one of the previous cancelled ones.
I'm going to get it up,
but Andrew,
and then I'm going to check Google.
Andrew Robinson is on there as well, which I thought, even though I've met him before, I thought, do you know what? I'd actually like to meet him again.
I would too.
Yeah.
Just because that's the thing. Even though I'm getting their autographs on things, as I'm starting to get their autographs, I'm now starting to get the cravings to have photos with people as well.
I like it. I've got my little books. They just go into a little book, but I'm happy with them, even if it's not going on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice to know that you've had that tiny bit of time with them and you've got that picture to show for it, and sometimes I get it signed as well. It's just nice.
I am tempted, but at the moment my goal is still to like finish getting the canvases and stuff. But yeah, but also with Andrew Robinson, he's maybe one that I would be tempted to pay to listen to in a talk.
Yeah, I think if I have to, and he's actually going to talk about Trek, I would consider it too.
Yeah.
Because he is one of the more interesting ones.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one of the nicer ones, but he's just, very smart guy. A lot to talk about.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, so I would be interested to see who else they end up getting.
I hope whoever you've heard that offer, wherever you've read it, is right that there's more like 20 guests. I would like to feel spoiled again, like we have been with all the ones in the past.
I'm sure that came from either Showmasters or Joyner.
I hope he's right. I hope he's right.
I'm pretty damn positive that I heard it from one of them.
I'd be almost shocked to read that he actually said the number. That he said 20 upwards or something, because
it
can be quite vague sometimes. Like, oh, you know, when they're saying, oh, we're still booking guests, and it's like, hang on a minute, there's only 2 weeks until the event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't want to go on a moany rant. I can't be bothered. I want to take it easy on them this week.
Yeah, well, to be fair, this has been pretty positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I've tried.
The only thing I would say is they've increased their prices for next year.
Yeah, I noticed that immediately, and I'm sure a few other people did and just were like, what the hell? Like, where's the justification for that? Well, I know the real justification. It's because maybe not as many people came this year as you'd hoped, but you realize that when that number does come, they do buy a hell of a lot of photos with those people, maybe more than they might have done if you did have loads of guests.
Yeah. Exactly. No, they've only announced Robert Duncan McNeil, Tim Russ, and Andrew Robinson so far for next year.
Oh, okay. So it's just two of the previous ones that had been signed on. And that's why I was worried about Ethan not coming this year, because he was one of them where, you know, I learned this year that Jason or Showmasters, whoever, has some sort of contract that says, with some of the actors, not with all of them, but if you don't turn up to this one, that's fine, but we have the right to advertise you for the next one.
Yeah.
Because you owe us one, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I saw that Ethan Phillips was on there, the same as I did with Tim Russon.
So that is how they get away with year after year advertising people that never turn up.
It did it with Tony Todd right now.
That makes me think, over the years...
I thought you were going to say, that makes me angry!
No, but that makes me think, over the years, have we been too hard on flaky freaks?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Because...
You know, I didn't realise that until this year, but...
Because literally, he's got that nickname for in the UK for always flaking out of conventions, where he's always booked and always going to be turning up. But if that's in the showmaster's contract, that they can advertise.
If it was actually just one booking, but it's like, if you don't turn up, we can re-advertise you for the next event for the next 5 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, until you do come and make that.
And he's like, yeah, no, I'm busy that weekend. And yeah, they're like, but okay, but we're still going to advertise you until...
Just in case you change your mind or whatever.
Yeah. No, maybe we have been too hard on him.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's interesting.
I hadn't thought of that in that way, but yeah.
I do hope that we get... But the thing is, with the three guys that we've got so far, they're a solid base.
Yeah, no, as soon as I saw that it was them, I just thought, you know what, if all three of those turn up, then you only get a couple of extras from the movies or whatever again.
It's a solid, lineup.
I'd be like, yeah, I like those three.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But if you can also add on to there a couple more guests of the same sort of caliber, because obviously to get over a Shatner or a Stewart, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, and we know how much Jason loves to tell us how much it's costing to run these cons.
Thing is, though, looking at that convention that I was at, I feel like if you did get Shatner over, you'd see the biggest line you've ever seen for him in that photo shoot, because people would just be like, there's only five guests here. Fuck it. You know, I've saved up hundreds of pounds in my bank account for this. Like, I wasn't going to get a Shatner photo, but sod it. I will.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he's one of those guys who's just going to say, no, oh, you got 3,000 people for the photo. Yeah, no problem.
Oh, he'll keep going.
Yeah.
He'll keep going. Funnily enough, our mate John Carrigan, he's back on out to the States next month, I think, to go and security guard for him again.
Oh, nice.
Whilst he's still, Shatner's still doing the...
There's some of my favourite Shatner stories that involve John. Yeah. It always seems at his nicest when John's around for some reason.
So if you're ever going to meet Shatner, make sure that John Carrigan's there.
Yeah, every story John tells us about him, he always comes across so nice, Shatner.
Yeah.
And then every other person that tells you the Shatner story... or like personal experiences you have, you're just like, what's wrong with that guy?
So maybe the trick is for us is, if we do ever go to a convention with Shatner there, we should open up with the line of, we're mates with John Carrigan.
Yeah, definitely.
That might actually get half a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you never know. Oh, but no, when looking at the set tours that they do in New York, they are impressive, though. They are well impressive. I would love to do that at some point in my life. When I do eventually do a New York holiday, once the kids are older, I would love to do that.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Yeah. So Destination Trek, everyone loves people dressing up. Did you see any ones that really popped for you that you was like, that was cool?
Well, you have different levels of Klingons where, but there's some really good ones where I kind of almost wish I'd stopped and grabbed a photo. I did grab a picture with Vince, who for once wasn't Sisko.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was a modern Klingon. I'm not sure if it's from
Disco
Discovery.
Klingon.
Yeah, but with like the mask.
He is a disco fan.
Yeah, it's fair enough. You know, yeah, you like what you like. I, for years, couldn't understand why people didn't like Enterprise, where I was just like, it's brilliant. What are you talking about? So, obviously, I'm just on the other side of that fence when it comes to Discovery.
Yeah.
Where people are telling me it's brilliant, and I'm like, nah, it's not. But, you know, I'm not going to shit all over it if you're a fan.
We shit on it enough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we've got the right to do that, but like, I'm not going to be going up to other people like people would with me in Enterprise, going like, "What are you watching that crap for?" It's, you know, if that's what you like,
we're
that's
not what you those like. Nerds.
No, not gatekeepers or whatever. Like, but we do have a podcast where we can say like, "We ain't watching that shit," you know. Like, that's
it's shit, but if it's your shit, that's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, you're allowed it.
I'm willing to sort of discuss, semi argue about it in a nice way if you want to.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is, in person at conventions, I personally don't think those arguments are even really needed. It's not that environment. No. Everyone's getting together to have a good time.
Yeah, and yeah, so when I'm seeing people in Discovery outfits or uniforms, like, it's great, you know.
And you can see that they put so much effort in.
Yeah, some people really did, but for some reason, I'm just not remembering many standout ones right now. If I do remember it, I'll tell you. But yeah, a lot of proud cosplayers there, even if they're just in their different various Starfleet uniforms.
Excellent.
And I do really like the environment, even if I'm just wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm glad that people enjoyed getting their glad rags on. I did see one woman who'd pretty much made a dress entirely of Tribbles.
I think I've seen her before, yeah. Or I've seen the dress, I've seen the idea or mm-hmm. something before, but yeah, that's good. I really wish I could remember some for you, because I know I saw some good ones, but they've just disappeared from my brain now. There was one very good Andorian, which I think he was probably the number one guy where I was like, I should have asked him for a photo. I didn't mm-hmm. know if he was specifically supposed to be Hemmer. Is it Hemmer?
Mm-hmm.
From Strange New Worlds. He looked very much like Hemmer, mm-hmm. But a bit darker skin.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he did very well. Yeah, I kind of wish I'd asked for a photo on that one.
That's cool.
Some sort of ironic ones there as well, which I can't think of, you know, jokey ones. But yeah,
one that I did see online, which I thought was hysterical, was a woman had gone dressed as a blue TNG barrel.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think I saw it in person. I saw it online as well and thought, that's good.
That was hysterical. And she would attack any person dressed as Worf that she would see.
Yeah, it's good.
I thought, that is just genius. I hope that she won a competition somewhere at the weekend.
That'd be great. Yeah, if I was judging the cosplay masquerade or whatever.
She'd have to be in the top three, wouldn't she?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Just for pure genius.
Yeah,
absolutely loved it.
Yeah,
especially I would hope that she would wear that if Michael Dorn was there as well. Yeah,
and actually roll into him.
Yeah, Dorn might be a good shout for next year.
Maybe. I mean, I think some of the I don't know what I'd call them, like mid upper level guests, mm-hmm. they might enjoy being like the top guest sort of thing of that year.
Yeah.
Like, they might be a real good ego boost. I'm like, oh shit, I've sold a lot more photos this year than I did last time I was here.
Yeah, exactly.
People seem a lot happier to see me than usual.
Take that, Robbie McNeil.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think getting those upper mid card people would definitely go down well. And
I don't know who else I'd want. I mean, there's all sorts, I suppose. I have a whole bunch of ones where I've never met them yet, so I guess they'd be mm-hmm. my right behind you. Anthony Montgomery, that's his name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And is it Linda Park?
It is Linda Park. Yeah.
People like that. Well, Roxanne Dawson, I was supposed to meet 2 years ago. That didn't happen.
The thing is, obviously, with me and you, we would always end up going to Enterprise and DS9 first.
Yes, always. So, I think I even did a survey. They did a post-convention survey, and they said, who do you want to see, you know, from what program? And I only put those two.
Yeah.
I only put DS9 and Enterprise because I just thought, I could tick everything, but then they'll think that I'm happy with anything, which I would be, apart from Discovery.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, I'm putting those two because I want them to know that, like, for this guy at least, these are the ones that would make me most happy, even if I have met them before. It's just nice to see them.
Yeah, no, and that's the thing, because obviously with the Voyager and TNG, I would be happy with anyone from that show, really. Yeah. But once again, they've already got two Voyager casts. So they've got that pretty much covered.
Yeah.
I tell you who I'd love to meet from DS9 that I've never met is Mark Alamo.
He'd be a good one. Yeah, very cool.
I would just like them to get a couple of those actors.
I think he's a good shout, actually. I think, you know, say they were to get 10, yeah, I would say he was a possibility. In fact, you know what? For once, we never do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like in one of the new Trekmate episodes, maybe me and you should say, let's come up with two guests from each program, not including the ones that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
Two each, like, but you can't have captains.
Yeah.
You can't have captains.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll come up with some rules and text you. And
yeah, we can play that game. We can play that game because I think they could easily, they always sell the JG and
what's his name? You made me forget it without even
Gowron.
Robert O'Reilly.
They always sell them as a bundle.
Yeah.
So surely the next episode is like, okay, then who else can we get together? Let's get Mark Alamo and Casey Biggs.
Yeah.
Get the Cardassians together.
People will be right on that, wouldn't they?
That's the thing. Just get some of those level characters that you don't see all the time, because I know they've had them at like conventions long in the past, but just not ones that you don't see all the time.
Oh, it'd be nice to get Max and Armin.
Obviously, we want Max back. Obviously, we'd have Max at every con that we go to.
I was kind of surprised that he didn't do this one, but I realize he's actually out in America doing the physical strikes on the street. That's where he was.
And that's because he was over at Vegas, because he always does.
Oh, right. That makes sense.
Every year, Max does Vegas and then also has a family holiday where they go and spend time with all of his family.
Yeah.
Before then flying back.
I hadn't thought of that.
That's what he said to us. He always uses it. Normally, most years,
I sort of like look at what's gone on at Vegas, but this year I just didn't for some reason.
But then the thing is, if you get some of those actors, Max and the others, they're half your entertainment for the evening, putting on one of the sets that they put on.
That's very true. I saw someone writing that the other day, you know, invite all those guys, because then,
And you've got entertainment for like one of the parties.
And I would even consider doing that then. I'm not bothered about a party if it's just bunch of people just getting drunk in a room listening to bad music.
No, but it's like they've got Tim Russ coming and he plays music.
Tim Russ and the Rat Pack. What were they called?
No, they're called the Star Trek Rat Pack.
Oh, they are called the Star Trek Rat Pack. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Yeah. No, so I think getting them involved with that is a good shout. But also, what will I think influence next year, I'm not sure if you've read it or seen it, but they, the guys who run FedCon over in Germany have also announced that they are partnering with Destination Trek to put on a Destination Trek in Germany next year. So they're working alongside them.
I didn't know that that's happening, but no, that's good. That's good to know that.
But the thing is, I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword. I can see pros and cons to both, because they're putting on the Germany Destination Trek 1 week before the UK Destination Trek.
Oh, really?
So maybe what the... I'm wondering if over the years they've been able to gauge how many people who attend the German Destination Star Treks actually came over from the UK.
Yeah.
Because then, so like, if that number has been really low, then they don't necessarily have to bother serving, like, catering to the UK audience. Because what that's then going to mean is that they're going to have the ability to fly people over to Germany first to do that convention, and then get them to then come over to here to do that convention a week after. And it's going to be more cost effective, because the flights between Germany and England are nothing compared to what it is.
Nowhere near.
Yeah, compared to what it is to the States. So they're going to save a lot of money and have double bubble on. Obviously, they're going to need to put them up for a week rather than the initial, like, just the 3 days or whatever it is they would be here in the UK. But it means that they're going to be able to get more bang for their buck. So a part of me thinks, like, will they have a loss in sales in one compared to the other? But I think maybe a lot of the, there isn't going to be that much crossover between people who go to the German Destination Trek and the people who go to the UK one. So what do you think?
Sorry, I was listening to what you said. We just got a couple of issues on our end. Cisco's just woke up a bit upset.
Oh, okay.
But yes, I definitely see the sense in what you're saying for them to do that.
No worries. Do you need to sort anything out, mate?
I think Sarah's on it.
You think Sarah's on it?
Yeah. Okay. I think we're okay.
Okay, cool. So, they're definitely... I think with that in mind, they could potentially get a couple of the bigger players.
It makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, they could at that point maybe get a Frakes over.
That would be great, yeah.
Maybe they could get something like some of the bigger players if they're going to two cons.
Yeah.
At the same time, the one thing that I did think was not funny or interesting, but they chose that FedCon were okay with it being only about 2 months after FedCon, so it's not. Right. So it's not that long after FedCon, but maybe they didn't really have much of a choice in the date, as it were.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
It's July next year, isn't it, now, instead of August?
It's the end of July, which is funny, because the only thing is, it's straight smack as the start of the summer holidays start. Yeah. So we're going to be hit with higher prices for hotels or wherever you're staying.
It wasn't cheap, the Premier Inn. I've paid for some expensive Premier Inns. They've been getting more and more expensive, but I think that was the most expensive.
I've checked out the Havens nearby.
Oh, yeah, what you said there. That's not a bad shout.
And if you were even if you was going as a group with other people, a three-bed caravan, which could sleep up to eight, would currently cost you just over £500 for the Friday to the Monday. So that would be a four-day break for 500 quid. But that was including all of the Haven entertainment. If you weren't interested in what Haven has on site, you could get it for about like 150 quid cheaper.
Yeah.
So if that was the case, then where the thing is, my kids and my family, we love Havens, so we would always get the package with stuff. But yeah, so there is definitely options.
Yeah.
And if you drive, then you obviously have more options as well. So I think watch this space. I'm kind of feeling positive about next year.
Yeah, me too. very optimistic.
Stays at the same level.
Yeah, I mean, and for me, I've already said, for myself personally, I'm happy with just the one day. I can't imagine myself at the moment doing a 3-dayer.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think for guys like us, one day at one of these cons is probably plenty to get everything in.
Yeah. I'm going to go back on what I said a minute ago. I think maybe I should pop off now.
No worries. Okay,
a lot of tears on this.
Let's sign off. And
it's been enjoyable, and we need to get back sooner and do another one than we have done in a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're gonna. I'm aiming to get back again for next week and get another show in the can.
Yeah, we would have recorded this one sooner if it wasn't for the fact that I was away for like a whole week there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, so I'm looking forward to getting back into it. But also, I think I've enjoyed hearing your experiences. And
yeah, I've been happy to share them. I had a few things to talk about tonight, but yeah, we can save it for next time.
And I've still got a couple of things to talk about for next week. So, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. So
yeah, I'm happy to record as soon as possible, really.
Yeah, no, same here. So you've heard it here first. We're going to record soon.
Yeah.
So, thank you very much.
I'm just going to say, just completely randomly, I'm not going to reference anything he said, but I'm just going to thank Darren in particular.
Mm-hmm.
It's always so nice reading your comments, mate. Really do appreciate it, even if we don't always acknowledge it.
Yeah. No, well, we always appreciate everybody that gets in contact, whether it's...
Oh, of course. It's just Darren is the one guy where just every time you drop a podcast, like he's right there. So cheers, buddy.
Oh, yeah. And also his answers are always like extremely elaborate and like discusses everything that we've talked about, and we really do appreciate that.
Comments, like, you know, he's really, really listened to our pod.
Oh, absolutely. But whilst we're thanking Darren, I'd also like to thank our Patreons, Sven, Neil, Mike, Scarlett, and Darren. Again, you're getting two thank yous, Darren. So big thank you to you guys for helping keep the lights on over here at Trekmate. So we're going to let you go and help out his wife. So yes. One thing that we don't endorse is husbands getting in trouble. So so we're going to keep Jude in the good books and sign off here. So thank you very much for listening, everyone. I've been Wayne Emery.
I've been Jude Hawkins. I've got to go. Let's track, mate.
So what kind of combat training do you have?
Fancy. Nero. Nero.
Nero. Well, I'm falling through the air. Beam is 10 feet off the ground. Vulcan's getting closer. But there's no one else around. You promised that you'd beam me up, but I keep falling down. I wake. Chekhov keeps on trying, though I might hit the ground. And I'd say, well, it's too late to energize. It's too late. Said it's too late to energize. It's too late.
Gentlemen, we're approaching the drop zone. We have one shot to land on that platform. You may have defenses, so pull your chute as late as possible. 3, 2, 1.
I take another jump, take a hit, take a blast for you. I need you like a ship needs a warp core holding on Sulu. Yeah, yeah. Well, I love you with the phaser red. Now it's turning blue. And you say, sorry, said the ensign. I'm having trouble locking onto you. But I'm afraid it's too late to energize. It's too late. Said it's too late to energize.
just 10 feet off the ground.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and yes, I am bald. In the future, there is no cure for baldness, and I am proof of that. But in the future, it's also very stylish to be bald, because everyone knows who's in charge. Me, the captain, Jean-Luc Picard. Ha ha! Make it so. Tea, Earl Grey, hot.